So I'm going to need three volunteers as we start, and also someone that can volunteer. I don't know, Stephanie, maybe that'd be better for you to be the one that as we go through the illustration here, I need someone. Steph, would you be able to? We're going to have three folks pour out a bunch of liquid into a bin. Oh, you want to help? Okay, maybe Alexis can help. There you go. Okay. Not just that. You can come up though. And what we're going to do is, so it's going to get a little messy here. Hopefully not too messy. Don't worry, it's not like going to SeaWorld. You're not going to have whoosh, splashing all the water. But people are going to be pouring out liquid and pouring water bottles into a container. You could stay up here if you want and sit on the stool. Spread these out a little bit, if we can. All right. But let's start by reading. We're going to start reading in the book of Acts in chapter 9. Stand with me if you're able to, please. And besides this young man that's up here, we're going to have a volunteer. We got another mic here. There we go. Probably going to be using this, too. So I'm going to play, let's just say, Oprah Winfrey. Hopefully that doesn't fall. All right, so Acts chapter 9. We're going to start reading from verse 1. Acts chapter 9, at verse 1, it says, "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank." Verse 10, it says, "Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, 'Ananias.' And he said, 'Here I am, Lord.'" So let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We do ask you, Lord God, that you please would open up this passage and speak to us. Lord, help us to comprehend what you want us to learn here in Acts chapter 9. Lord, we do ask that you would pour out your Spirit. Oh, God, empty us today. As we often sing, empty me and then fill us, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit today. Lord God Almighty, we ask that you would be that God that you show us in the Bible. You are holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we need your Spirit, your holy presence here amongst us, abiding within us, falling down upon us and working through us today, God. Help us to really sense your holy presence here, God, and show us, Lord, what you want to do in and through our lives. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. You guys could have a seat if you would, please. So today, we're going to have a study that is a tale of contrasts. What do I do with my clicker? Is it up here? It's over there? Oh, there we go. Thank you, young man. It's a tale of contrast today that we'll look at. Oops. One person we're going to see is a Christian killer. Who is that in the story? That's Saul, Saul of Tarsus. The other person is a Christian. One person, Saul, he's a Christ persecutor, and the other one's a Christ follower. That's the guy that we're going to learn about called Ananias. One person seeks to torture and murder, the other one's seeking to pray for, to bless, and to heal. And one person's consumed by the flesh, and the other person seeks to impart a spiritual gifting. Again, today we're presented with a tale of contrast. We're going to see these things. They're both spoken to by Jesus. JP, can you click through? I don't think it's working here. There we go. Thank you. So both of them are spoken to by Jesus. Both of them now at this point in Acts 9 are surrendered to Jesus. Both of them are now submissive to Jesus as Lord. Again, Acts chapter 9 helps to bridge them together, we'll see. And both of them now are able to serve Jesus. We're going to see something as a clash, if you will, a comparison and contrast between two individuals. One was a picture of the flesh. And one is a picture of a Holy Spirit-filled and empowered believer. This is you. This is me. This is what God wants us to be or to become. But as we're going to see in today's story and in the study, in order for you and I to really do God's will, you and I need a spiritual empowerment. Amen? Amen. We need a spiritual empowerment. And we must seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Some like to hear it this way. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. I need that. You need that. We all need that. So I'm going to start off today, like I said, with an illustration. We already have one man here. Thank you. By the way, let me get the mic here. This should be on here. Thank you for volunteering. What is your name, young man?
Alexis.
Awesome. How old are you?
15.
All right. I feel like, was this Oprah Winfrey? Not Jerry Springer. It's a different show. But we need three other volunteers to come up. Who wants to volunteer? Volunteer, not nominate. Hey, come on up. You can leave your, you're probably going to get a little messy up here, so leave your Bibles and especially your phones and all that. Come on up. Okay, so Alexis is going to help. Oh, we need one more. Now, you're going to help carry stuff away. We're going to need one other volunteer. Alexis, come on, you're going to help carry stuff. They're going to pour out. Yeah, we don't want it to get wet. Can we have one other volunteer here? One other volunteer? Who wants a volunteer? Come on. Don't be shy. Okay, here comes Stephanie. All right, and then Mr. Alexis can help. They're going to pour out. So what we're going to do, we're going to give you an illustration. Hold up the bottles, by the way. What are those?
Gatorade.
Gatorades. Awesome. By the way, tell us your name.
Nori.
Nori.
Stephanie,
okay. And what are you holding? Some people, I don't know if they can see. You guys, can you guys see online? And some are going to be listening later on. What are you guys holding?
Bottles of Gatorade.
Okay, a bottle of Gatorade.
Liquid.
Liquid, okay. And here's our third volunteer coming up. Yeah. Who's coming up? Come on up. Okay, and Alexis, they're going to be pouring this out. It's going to get a little messy here. Good thing you're wearing like a t-shirt. So tell us your name.
My name is Gloria.
Gloria? Okay. Welcome. Thank you. So each of you will have a bucket here. This is the one you're going to be taking away in just a bit here, young man. So what is this? ¿Cómo es? This is para ti.
lime, cucumber.
Yeah,
lemon and pepino.
Lime? Lemon?
And cucumber.
Yeah. Okay, it's Gatorade, lime, I guess, cucumber flavor. Okay, it's okay, lo siento. Sorry. Mi español es no bueno. All right, so.
English, no.
your English is better than my Spanish. All right, so each of you have a bottle of Gatorade, and what this is, can I borrow? Gracias. This is you. This is just an illustration. And what we're going to show you is the fact that each of us is a vessel to hold something. In this illustration, just like the Bible study we're going to look at today, we are needing to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Saul of Tarsus is someone that you see through the story of his life, Jesus is emptying him. He's being poured out. And then when he empties himself, now he's ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're going to see that within the context of the teaching today, but I want them to show you this. So what you're going to do, each of you is going to open the bottle, and then this young man, Alexis, he can hold this. Sorry, it's like a long table. And then you're going to have to stand over here. And then he's going to be, you can open it up and then pour it out. Okay, so they're going to be poured out. Go ahead, Stephanie, you can open up yours too. Oh, into here, aquí. Just pour it out. Pour it all out. Pour it out. Okay, you can take the cap off too. There we go. And then show them the empty bottle. This is like a picture of you. Okay? Gracias. All right. Okay, so you're poured out. This is just an illustration. Thank you. Now you can please take it away before it spills. You can dump it in the sink. There's a big sink. Thank you, Alexis. All right, so now what I want you to do is keep the bottle in here without the cap. You can take the lid off. And here, probably should have opened this up. Can you open that up, Stephanie? Hand out the bottles. What I want you to do is now start opening the bottles. This is an illustration of you emptying self. And then what you're going to be doing is as many bottles as you want. I want you to illustrate. It's like the Holy Spirit being depicted as water, right? Pouring into this empty vessel now. And don't stop when it's full. Keep pouring into. And I want the audience to see, and you as well. Okay, put it there. Yeah, and just keep pouring it in as much as you can. Don't be shy. We have mucho agua. We have a lot of water. Keep pouring into it. Keep pouring in. That's what I said. It's going to get a little messy. Yeah, no, not around. That's part of the illustration, too. Okay, that's why you got a bucket there. Keep pouring into it. And when it's full, keep pouring. Look at that. Keep pouring more in. Good, good. So you are an empty vessel. I told you guys to get a little messy today. That's okay. It's fun. So you and I are empty vessels. We need to be poured out. Now, it's not Gatorade we're full of, but what are we sometimes full of?
Self.
We're full of self. What other things? The world. Okay, what other things are we full of? Oh, thank you. Okay, we're going to have to take away these ones in a little bit. So as it's full, keep pouring in. You see, one of the things of being filled with the Holy Spirit, synonymous with the term baptism of the Holy Spirit, there we go. So you keep pouring in. Is to have an ongoing overflowing. My cup runneth over, right? So the Bible says. Keep pouring in. You get an illustration. That's to be you and me. Amen? Where the Holy Spirit wants to fall upon you, work within you, and to pour through you. Okay, listen to the prepositions. To fall upon you. That's Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit will fall upon you. And you want him to work within you. And then Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, to do what? Come to me, he says. Come to Jesus. And out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Oh, I got to get a picture of this. This is great. So keep pouring, keep pouring. You might sit there and go, that's a kind of a funny illustration, right? Yes, and I want you to understand that this is kind of how it is. Here we go. So we got our volunteers up here. We are the empty vessel. We need to be poured out, just like the Gatorade bottles were poured out. And then now, the Holy Spirit, just like the water pouring into and overflowing, you and I need to be having an ongoing overflowing of the Spirit in our lives. Just keep pouring into. That's okay, Stephanie. Have it keep pouring out, pouring out. Awesome. Awesome. So keep doing it. It's an illustration. I'm like taking photos. Keep doing it. Oh boy, we're going to have to clean up afterwards. So I told you today it would be a little fun and messy. Good. Here we go, Nori. All right. So yeah, keep pouring out. The thought is when it comes to being baptized with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not like you have a car and you go to the gas station and Like I was telling Joshua the other day, our car is a Toyota Camry. It's about an 18-gallon gas tank. He could look at the gauge and go, oh, Dad, look, it's about 3/4 full. So once you have a gas tank that's full, that's not a good indication of what it should be for the Holy Spirit. This is a better illustration. Why? Because you and I need to have an ongoing, overflowing, outpouring of the Holy Spirit working into and through our lives. All right, that's probably good enough. Give them a hand, would you guys? All right. Gracias, gracias. Thank you, guys. You guys could have a seat. Thank you, guys. All right. Can we get, take some water if you need. We're thirsty now, right? All right, so you could even leave it here, or Alexis, if you could help with some of these, too, to pour out. Thank you. All right, guys. Thank you for the illustration. We're going to look at this today. So as we see this difference between two people, this tell of contrast, right? One person is a Christian killer. That's Saul of Tarsus. The other one is a Christ follower. He's empowered, filled with the Spirit. Thank you, guys. And he's seeking to bless. He's seeking to serve Jesus. They're both now at the same place where they could serve the Lord Jesus, but they're poured out so that now God could do what? Now God could pour into them. Hopefully this illustration made sense for somebody here. It's helpful for me. Hopefully it's helpful for somebody here. So back to our story now. Thank you. Look at this in Acts chapter 9. In verse 10, we're picking up. You guys know the story. This is our third time going through this passage, by the way. We're just going a little further now this week. Verse 10, notice it says here, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So first of all, I want you to know that God, many times in the Bible, just like it is in our lives, he knows your name and he calls you out by name. Right? He calls you out by name. Just like he did with Saul and just like he did here with Ananias. Wait, that might bring back some memories. You might remember, like in Genesis, how God calls someone named Abraham. Abraham. He also replies back to the Lord, here I am. He does this over and over. Calls out to Jacob. Jacob, here I am. Also in Isaiah's book. Remember that? Isaiah chapter 6, the year of King Uzziah's death. I saw the Lord. That's what he says. High and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah's hearing now from the Lord. Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And what does Isaiah say? Here am I, send me. Right? That's Isaiah 6 verse 8. You've also got Moses in the book of Exodus. Moses, Moses, here I am. So you see God's people many times that first, God knows you by name. He calls you out by name. And he wants us to reply. Do better than I did, because when God started calling me, it was more like, here I am, send her. Here I am, send him. I'm too freaking out in my flesh. No way. I don't want to answer the call of God. Anybody understand that? Okay? There's a little bit of Moses disease in all of us, right? Like, nah, I really don't want to. At the end of the discussion that Moses had with him, Moses is just like, God, just pick somebody else. Okay? But praise God, he calls you out by name. He calls Saul. Notice what Saul says here. Look at this. Look at the difference, the comparison and contrast between God calling them out by name and how they reply. With Saul, look at this in verse 5, Saul didn't know who it was. And he asked in verse 5, what did he say? Who are you, Lord? Look at his reply. Who are you, Lord? Look at Ananias in verse 10. God calls Ananias out by name, and what does Ananias say? Here I am, Lord. He was prepared. Who are you, Lord? Versus, here I am, Lord. Now, Ananias, his name means whom Jehovah has graciously given. His name's a compound word made up of two words. The first word means be gracious. And the second one is God. God has graciously given. I love that because he kind of enacts it out here. Let's continue on in the story after God calls Ananias. In verse 11, it says, "So the Lord said to him, arise." He tells him, arise. What does that let you know? He's probably in prayer. Arise. Get up. Maybe he's kneeling down in prayer. Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. I love that. You get the indication that both Ananias and Saul are in prayer at that same moment to the same God. Don't you love that? I think about how God can connect. Now he can confirm things. Arise. So it's probably that Ananias was likely in prayer. When he says, for behold, he's praying, think about this just within the context and in reality. Now understand, God told Saul's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And God, the Lord Jesus actually told him, arise, go into the city, and what did he tell him next? You'll be told what you must do. And he was blind physically. He didn't eat or drink for 3 days. So look at the context. What do you think he'd be doing? What would you be doing if Jesus said, you'll be told what you must do? Most likely he'd be in prayer going, okay, what's the next step? What's the next step? Come on, God. I think it's the day 3 now. You still haven't told me what the next thing is. How long is this going to go on? Till I die? I guess I deserve it because I was killing your people. But Jesus, can you tell me? He said, arise, go in the city, and you'll be told what you must do. Most likely, he'd be doing what you and I would be doing. What's that? Praying. So you get the indication he's probably praying and waiting all this time. Lord, I did my step one. Now what's the next step? Interesting. For behold, he is praying. He's most likely not just praying at that moment, but you get the sense that Saul has spent the entire time perhaps praying to the Lord. And that makes sense because Jesus told him, you will be told what you must do. So Saul was waiting for his very next step. And then verse 12 says, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. This is where it gets a little personal and maybe a little scary for Ananias. Remember who Saul was and who Ananias was. Saul was a Christian killer. He was the Christ persecutor. Saul came into the city because he was looking for guys like Ananias to do what? To kill him, right? To drag him away, to torture, cause him to blaspheme. How would you cause a Christian to blaspheme? Probably torture, interrogation. Think about that. And he derived pleasure out of that. And to drag them away from murder, to kill them. So now it gets real. Think of yourself like Ananias. God speaks to you. You're in prayer. Oh, Lord, what do you want me to do today? And the Lord Jesus appears to you. He calls you out by name. Ananias. Maybe it's not Ananias. Maybe it's Grizel, Brandon. He's calling you out by name. And the very one that you've heard about that's going to come to this city to find where you are, find where you live, and drag you out in chains publicly to humiliate you down south 202 miles to Jerusalem for torture and murder. God tells you, he saw you in a vision. He knows that there's a man named, with your name, Ananias, coming in and putting his hand on him. Come on, let's get real. You'd probably be like how I would, like, give me a break, Jesus. Thank you very much. You have to rat me out? You gave him my name. He's here to kill me. But he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he may, what? Receive his sight. Verse 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name. So, as we look at how God convicts the heart, just know this. Sometimes God will ask you to do something kind of crazy, right? Has that ever happened to any of you? Where you know God's asking you to do something crazy. After all, he's the one that tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. He's a God that will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. That's in Ephesians. And so sometimes God's going to blow away your mind. With Peter, he tells him to step out of the boat and do what? To walk on water. He was a fisherman. He obviously knew. He didn't have to have a physics degree. He obviously knew that's not smart to step out on water. So sometimes Jesus is going to ask you to do something that sounds a little crazy, right? Just accept it. You know, if he's going to tell you to run in traffic, that's probably not Jesus. If you hear a voice that says jump off a building, that's definitely not Jesus. Okay. But don't be surprised, don't be shocked if the Lord asks you to do something crazy that's out of your comfort zone. Do you think this was in the comfort zone of Ananias? No. You even see him here calling Jesus Lord. Lord, he's a servant, right? You don't tell your Lord what to do. You don't tell your Lord that he's wrong. Lord, I've heard from many. In other words, he's saying, are you sure you're sure? Are you sure you got the right guy? This dude Saul was here to kill me. Haven't you heard? I know you're God, but haven't you heard? He's not just persecuting us, he's killing us. Are you sure? He's basically saying. Verse 15, but the Lord said to him, look at this, check this out. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias, you're not going to suffer. Ananias, I'm going to make Saul suffer. Like, yeah, get him, Jesus. But I need you to go and do this. Oh, wow. So the Lord's basically telling him, you're not going to suffer, Ananias. I'm going to make Saul suffer. Verse 17, and here's the crazy thing. He actually went and did it. Okay, show of hands. Who here would actually go? Is that any of you guys? Kimmy would. All right, give her a high five. It's a little crazy, right? So sometimes God will tell you something crazy to do outside your comfort zone. This isn't just you're in the bodega or you're at the market and the lady standing in front of you or the person standing in front of you, Jesus says, I want you to give them a tract, or I want you to tell them I love them and sent my only son to die for them. His name's Jesus the Messiah. You and I go, sometimes we go crazy. We think, no way, this person's going to kill me. Not like this. So this was so crazy, it was totally out of his comfort zone. But this would be the person that Ananias would want to run away from, right? That's how crazy it was. Check this out, verse 17. He actually went, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and look what he did, laying hands on him. It was the other way around. Saul came there to lay hands on him, not to impart a blessing, but to drag him away for torture and murder. He coming in, it says in verse 17, laying his hands on him, he said, notice the first word that Ananias said. Check it out and look at what the scripture says. What does the text say? What did he call him? Brother. He calls him again what? Brother. What does this let you know about what Ananias already knew at this point in time about Saul of Tarsus? He'd already gotten saved. Do you hear that? Because someone that's not a born-again Christian, someone that's not part of the family of God, is not a true sister in Christ or brother in Christ. So he calls him brother. This lets you know that chances are greatly that he was already a born-again Christian at this point in time. He calls him brother. Brother Saul. Okay, this is not a brother prior to this time. Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight. And notice it says here, just like an illustration, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's say that again. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you like to hear it this way, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. God himself, the Spirit, wants to impart to you and I spiritual power, spiritual blessings, spiritual gifting. And if it is true, which many scholars and saints and those that write commentaries, so I've even read, checking up on this, by the time he said and called him brother, Saul of Tarsus was already a born-again Christian. He just had not yet been filled with the Holy Spirit. Interesting, right? So he's telling him, Jesus sent me to you that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So Saul still needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at this juncture, I'm going to tell you now and then pray for anybody, whether it's one or some or all of you here, that you and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you came here and that's what you're wanting. Maybe you're dry. You're feeling, God, I need more of your Spirit in my life. I need to be emptied of self, just like we saw in the illustration, to be poured out. God, help me that I would pour out of my selfishness, my ambitions in life, my goals, my dreams, my desires. Because let's face it, many of us are so stuffed with stuff and have too much of self that God can't fill us. It's a difference between the flesh, the self-willed life, and the Spirit. He's already living within the born-again Christian, but sometimes we don't see His blessings. We don't see Him pour out through us, fall down upon us, well up within us, and His spiritual gifting and power flow through us because we might be so focused on self. Just like the illustration, we need to be poured out first. So be filled with the Holy Spirit. And this goes back to Acts chapter 1, where to be filled with the Holy Spirit is where you, quote, receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And it's to be witnesses to Jesus. But many of us, we don't have that spiritual boldness, perhaps, because we might be too focused on self. So I'm here to tell you today, if this is somebody here, or some, or all of you, that maybe you want prayer that God would fill you with the Holy Spirit. If so, we're going to have that time where we could pray for you. It's where you get filled with God's Spirit to overflowing, just like you saw them in the illustration, pouring out water into the empty vessel. You're a vessel, but you need to be emptied of self that He might do what? Pour into you, and then what? Keep going, God. Flow through me. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, come to who? Come to Him. And out of your innermost being, out of your heart will flow what? Rivers of living water. And John tells us that Jesus is meaning the Holy Spirit. That God's Spirit, God Himself, would flow out of your inmost being. I picture like how we have here in the summer. We're going to see in a couple months, if not maybe next month even, you go to some areas, like in the hood, and then you see the kids out there in the streets when it's a really hot summer. What do they do with the fire hydrants? Come on, anybody see that? Right? It's like, come on, who's got the wrench? Right? And some places, some people say, yeah, the fire department might actually do that because maybe people don't have air conditioning and it gets so hot. And you see them just, they're like spraying the cars and the people walking by. If I see that a lot of times, like, oh, look, God's given us a car wash. We just drive by real slow. That's what I picture. An ongoing, overflowing, not just falling upon you, not just living within you, but flowing through you. Living water, or like a fire hose, whoosh, constantly, ongoing, overflowing. The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. It's an ongoing overflowing of God's Spirit upon, into, and through your life out to others. Spiritual gifting does that too, because they're not meant for you, they're for the profit of all. That's what we're told in the Scriptures. This is also called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So this is something that Saul of Tarsus needed, and praise God, we kind of have his journal, if you will, what happened in his life. We call it the book of Acts here in chapter 9. Let's look here at what happened continuing on. Verse 18 says, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. Now, we don't know if this is a physical water baptism. Contextually, this might be speaking of the spiritual baptism, as Ananias was saying to him. How do you know that? Well, for one, Ananias said it, and he laid hands on him, and that's the impartation of the spiritual gifting. He even mentioned, be filled with the Holy Spirit in verse 17, and also the fact that he was not eating food for 3 days, or drinking, the context may be indicating the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when he arose and was baptized at that very moment. Not like he arose and says, no, hold off on the food, where's some water, let me go get water baptized. That doesn't seem to make sense as much as the context. Like he said, right before, verse 17, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, it says, something fell from his eyes like scales. He received a sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. This might be speaking of Saul of Tarsus's, kind of hard to say, Saul of Tarsus's spiritual baptism, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Could be. Verse 19. To close this out. So when he had received food, now he ate after all that. He was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So in a similar way, as we close this story out and to see what we saw even in the illustration, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to close this with a word of prayer, to keep this simple and to close on our time here. But if there's somebody here that also wants the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you also want to be filled with the Spirit, that perhaps you want the spiritual gifting that God gives through His Spirit. Excuse me here as I make some room. I'm going to ask, if that's anybody here, I'm going to ask for you to come up in just a moment, that we can lay hands on you and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if that's anybody. Victor, looks like you want that. Awesome. So we'll ask you to stand and to come forward, that maybe you had also an encounter with Jesus like Saul, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want empowerment of the Spirit, you want the gifts of the Spirit, you want the Spirit to flow out of you like living water or like the illustration we saw where it's an ongoing overflowing of the Spirit, then I'm going to ask you to come up in just a moment. All right, hold on, Victor. Awesome. This guy's eager. Praise God. If anybody wants to come up, you can come up now. But I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, that you want to baptize us with your Spirit. We thank you, God, that you don't leave us alone, that you live within us, but you want to fall upon us by your Spirit to empower us. Jesus, we're thirsty, like we sang. We're hungry for you and for your word, and we're thirsty for your Spirit in life, Lord. We need that to stand as a Christian, even here in New York City. We want the boldness that comes from you, spiritual boldness. We want the spiritual gifting. We want spiritual empowerment, spiritual enablement. But Lord God, we need you. Help us to pour out of ourselves, Lord, to empty self, to be an empty vessel that you might fill us, God, with your Spirit. As Ananias said to Saul, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us today to do that, God. Whether we're listening online right now in Zoom or us here in person, Lord, we need you. But help us to empty ourselves of self, Lord. We want to repent from all of our selfish goals, whatever they might be. And we ask for you to fill us. We want to be an empty vessel, Lord God. So we cry out to you. Please do that here. For we do ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. So if anybody wants that, please come up. We're going to pray. And then for you guys online, you can pray with us too. So I have oil here. Can I get through? Sorry. Oh, wow. There's a whole bunch of you. Praise God. So I have some oil. What I'm going to do, and we can kind of gather around if we can, let him come in too. I'm going to anoint you guys with oil. Oil, of course, is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to anoint each of you, and we're going to pray that you would be filled with the Holy Spirit. The same God who had Ananias, the same Jesus who had Ananias, go and lay hands on and speak to Saul of Tarsus to not only save him, but to fill him with the Holy Spirit. He's here today, and he wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit. You and I need that empowering. We need that enabling that only comes through him. I'm going to ask my wife to anoint me too. I need the Lord's empowerment, my life too. Oh, Lord God. So Let's gather around, and for you guys that are here too, please pray with those. There's still time if anybody wants to come up, if anybody else. But we're going to, let me go and leave this up here. I'm sorry. You're okay. Just gather around. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for what you can do. Gracias, Señor. Thank you, Lord, for what you do. We do ask that you would please fill those that are here, including myself, Father. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We want to pour out ourselves, Lord. Help us, God. I want to encourage you that are up here to also pray to the Lord that you would repent from any sin, that you would turn away from selfishness, sins of the flesh, sins of pride, sins of materialism, that you would empty yourself and cry out to him, ask him to pour out his Spirit upon you, to fill you with his Spirit, to pour through you, that he would give you spiritual gifting. Cry out to him. Oh, Lord God, we do ask that you please would help those that are here. Oh, Father, we ask that you would pour your Spirit upon them. Baptize them with your Spirit, Lord. Pour out from heaven above. Thank you, Lord. Only you can do this work. Lord, we come to you humbly. We ask, we cry, Father, please help us. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us, Lord, for how selfish that we can be. Lord, we ask you to please help us to empty ourselves of self, whatever goals, whatever selfish ambitions we've had in life. We repent from our sins. We know that you are our Savior who died on the cross for us, Jesus. You're our Messiah. We thank you for that, Lord. We want to turn away from our sins, knowing that you died for them on the cross. Help us to keep turning away from our sins. Help us to keep turning to you. We repent, Lord. We repent from all the worldliness, from Satan's strangleholds on our lives. We ask for you to break through. Break those chains, Lord, as only you can do. Empower us mightily, Lord. I know this is a holy moment here. Help us, God. Help us to turn away from our sins. Help us to turn to you, Lord. We ask for you to pour out your Spirit, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us gifts that you desire for us to have. Give us boldness too, Lord, that we could walk this out. Even boldness like you gave to Ananias to go to someone that was our enemy, but they're really fighting against you, God. Help us to not have fear, but to walk by faith, not by sight. Help us, Lord, to have also that boldness that Ananias had, Lord, to hear from you and to simply go and do that which you're asking us to do. But we need to do the work of the ministry empowered by your Spirit, Lord, not by our willpower. It's not by might. It's not by strength, but by your Spirit, Lord. We need your spiritual empowerment. So we ask for you to impart spiritual gifting upon our brothers and sisters here, Lord. Give us that boldness. Give us that encouragement. Give us gifts you desire us to have. Gifts of prophecy. Gifts of healing. Gifts of teaching. Gifts of encouragement. Lord, help us to see these gifts flow. Oh, Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Help us to have gifts, Lord, that will help as we serve you privately, just like Mary at your feet, Lord, that we worship you, that we would minister directly unto you, and that as you have us to be with other people, God, we can look to your gifts to flow through our lives, to flow through us like living water, an ongoing, overflowing Spirit that would pour through us. Oh, Lord, gush out of our hearts, Lord. We need your agape love, not dead, stagnant water that does nothing but collect and take in. That's selfish. Just like the Dead Sea, it's dead. And it gets too bitter. It gets to be too salty and can't sustain life. But your living water, just like the Jordan River pouring out, Lord, we need to not only take in, we need to be poured out. So we pour out of ourselves that you might fill us. Please, Lord, please keep filling us with your Spirit. Help us, Lord. We cry out to you. Oh, Lord, help us this not to be just another time where we pray to you, but, Lord, that we submit and surrender to you, even as we saw in the story. God, even as you did with Saul, someone that was hating you, killing Christians, killing Christ followers, and yet you had grace on him. That's us too, Lord. We're those that have blasphemed your name. We're those that have persecuted others, and we just didn't know. Forgive us for these things, or we repent from our sins. Fill us, God, to overflowing. Use our lives, Lord God. Use our lives for your glory. Please continue, Lord, within us, flow upon us, into us and through us, just like we saw in the illustration, to be empty vessels, Lord. Pour out your Spirit for an ongoing overflowing of your Spirit in our lives, Lord. For we ask, we beg, we plead to you in the name above all names, in Jesus' precious mighty name, we do pray to you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Let's give these guys a hand. Praise God. All right. All right. So looking forward to God using your lives more and more. Look for the spiritual gifts. We have those sheets that have the listing of the gifts we can give to some of you guys. Keep looking for God's Spirit to flow. And keep emptying yourself of self and asking for Him to fill you. It's an ongoing overflowing. You don't just pray once for God to fill you. You don't just pray once that you would declare to Him, I'm weak and you're strong. That's every day and throughout each day, declaring to Him, God, I need you. I'm so desperate. And please keep doing that for His glory. And ask the Lord and allow Him to show you and the body of Christ and anybody you're around that His Spirit will flow out of you. It's like living water. How do you say agua vida? Living water. Living water. Okay? Awesome. You guys are awesome. Okay? Keep looking for the Lord working through your lives. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks, guys. That concludes our service. Gracias.